Boy, that wakes you up out of meditation, doesn't it? I love it. It's just such a great balance, the yin and the yang of spiritual practice, you know? It's awesome. Thank you, Gary. Give him some love. I mean... Great. So now we have our inspirational lesson today from Reverend Liz Luoma. And I want to introduce Reverend Liz. And she has been here before. Some of you remember her wonderful talk last time, and she gave a great workshop, which she's also offering a workshop after service today. If you're interested, I'm sure she'll talk about that. Reverend Liz is a dynamic speaker, teacher, and licensed ordained minister who has served as the associate minister at the center, at the Spiritual Center for Positive Living in El Dorado Hills, as senior minister at the Center for Spiritual Living Tahoe Truckee, and as staff minister at CSL Newport Mesa. She's been around. She is a master communicator and presenter whose mission and passion in life is to help people awaken to the truth of who they are as spiritual beings and to provide necessary tools to live with more love, peace, joy, harmony, and freedom in all areas of their lives. Yes. Reverend Liz presently resides in Citrus Heights with her newly wedded wife, Reverend Devine Joy Young. Sharing ministry together, they call themselves the Happily Ever Laughter Love Ministers. Happily Ever Laughter Love Ministers. That's a good one. And what do they bring? They bring the energy of love, joy, and light to everyone they are with and serve. And so it is our pleasure to welcome Reverend Liz today.
God morning. All right. It is a God morning. It is a good morning. It's a blessed morning. Why? You want to know why? Because we're here. And we invited the divine to be here today, and sitting in your seat. So I want to welcome the divine. Each one of us is. Thank you for bringing your presence and your light and your love. And my intention today is that we are lifted, shifted, and gifted into a higher vibration of the love that we already are. So first I just want to ask, how many of you have played the game as a child, follow the leader? Okay, most of us have played that game, and it's essentially one person is the leader, and whatever they, and they line up, and if they, basically, if they raise their hands, everybody has to follow, or they hop on one foot, they have to hop on one foot. So they go through this whole thing, and when somebody doesn't do the thing that's being leader, then they have to sit down, and then it goes through the process of following the leader, and then the last one standing, or in the rotation, gets to be the leader. There's also the similar Simon Says, Simple Simon, right? Simple Simon Says, raise your hand, right hand. Okay, let's see how many you're going to play. Simple Simon Says, put your hand down. Simon Says, raise your hand. Oh, you have to do it only when I say Simple Simon, so you're all out. Right? I had to relook at the game, okay, on Google, going, oh, it's Simple Simon, and then it's Simon Says, and if you miss the simple part, you're eliminated. So it's fun. It was a childhood game, and it's about the having a leader and a follower, and yet how many of us in our lives, daily lives, we have leadership and we have following roles. So going to today's talk is leading from the heart, and the essential theme for the Centers for Spiritual Living is spiritually motivated moral leadership. Today's topic is leading from the heart. So I'm going to talk about what leading from the heart means, and more importantly, how do we apply this lesson in our lives? Because if it's not practical, then you know, I'm about practical spirituality. I really love that in the vision it says practical spirituality. So to lead, first of all, just to define what it means to lead, it's to show the way to someone or something. Or it's also known as to manage or control a group of people, be the person who makes decisions that other people choose to follow or obey. I didn't really like that because it was like a managing and controlling and obeying. I'm like, and my rebel's like, no, I'm not doing any of that. So my definition is to lead means to initiate and provide a way to move towards something. It's when we're looking to go towards a goal or a vision or something, and we're motivating perhaps others and perhaps ourselves, because there's different forms of leadership. Now, we know what leading therefore is. It's moving towards a goal with some motivation. The more important question is, what is or how are we leading? How are we being a leader? And there's two options, basically. We're leading from our head, or we're leading from the heart. And in our society, and there's also, we can split the brain, and we can say there's the logical side, and there's the more creative, intuitive side. So in our Western society, most of us are taught that it's basically leading from your knowledge, the rational, the logical, what you know and what you do. And that's the masculine energy. It's very masculine oriented. It's about what you know and what you're doing is what leadership is. The other side, the heart, is more about the feminine and about how we relate. And that's not really emphasized in our world as leaders, unfortunately. And we have seen different leaders pick up the different models, and we can see the how that results. So you have the head and you have the heart. And the truth is, you need both of them. But we're going to emphasize the heart. I love this. And it's not about, because we think knowing, knowledge is the thing. You need to have knowledge, what you're knowing. But the truth is, and I've loved this quote, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And with that comes the Albert Einstein quote, the intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift, right? So with that in mind, there's this divine feminine. It's the heart and about caring first. See, there's the masculine. The head is here to serve the heart. The heart is the lead, to be the lead. And we need to remember that the heart is the leader. The masculine is actually here to serve the feminine. That is the way that I have been taught in some of my teachings. It's the heart. It's how we relate. It's then how we create. Because the masculine is about creating, in a sense, of making something happen. But the feminine is about relating. So we want to relate and then have the mind serve the heart. So if we have both the mind and the heart, that's the goal that we're looking to have. In the Tao of Leadership, which is by John Heider, and that is the book of the month, he speaks of the warrior, a healer, and the Tao. So the leader can act as a warrior or as a healer. As a warrior, the leader acts with power and decision. This is the yang or masculine aspect of leadership. Most of the time, however, the leader acts as a healer and is an open, receptive, and nourishing state. That is the feminine or yin aspect of leadership. The mixture of doing both, a warrior and healer, is both productive and potent. And I'm going to talk about the Tao in just a bit. So it's the masculine, feminine. I went to a couple camps in my life, and one of them was the warrior camp and the wizard camp. And the warrior camp was the way of action, where the wizard camp was the way of attraction. So again, it's knowing when to pick up the sword and be about the activity and doing this. And there's a time of knowing when it's just to sit back. And I believe it's that time to sit back is what's most important. So I want to ask you, where in your life are you a leader? And knowing that we lead throughout the day. See, we all have masculine and feminine. And in relationships, when you have two people that are coming from their masculine self, it's bumping heads. It's like, where do you want to go for dinner? Well, I want to go to Italian. And you're saying, I want to go to Indian food. And there's no giving. You know, you've got two people who have an opinion and a desire, and there's no give and take. It doesn't work well in relationships. However, if you have two folks that are in their feminine, where do you want to go for lunch? Well, I don't care, wherever you want to go. But I'm not attached, she says. We'll go wherever you want to go. And nobody goes anywhere. So it's the idea that you have a masculine and a feminine, and one of them has to lead, be the leader of speaking it is, what it is we're doing, and the other one needs to flow. And it's this divine dance. And in fact, the word guidance, I love this word guidance. It's the word dance is in guidance. And if you take the G and made that stand for God or Great Spirit, it's G, God, you and I dance. Yes. So dancing with the divine. Just think about that and feel that. I know somebody's going, yeah, I can feel that, right? To dance with the divine. And if I'm so busy leading, here's the thing. How can spirit be the lead? Because spirit is the all-knowing one. I call it the God Self Liz Love Team. Okay? God Self is what I call the divine. You may have a different name for whatever it is that you call that power, presence. For me, it's God's self because I need to know that it's inside of me as me, my higher self. But it's God's self, always first. Then it's Liz, and it has to be about the love. And it's a team. And it's the God's self, Liz, love team because spirit needs me to be its eyes, its ears, its hands, its voice, its presence here on earth. It needs every one of us. And I need it because I don't know what I'm doing. So that makes them perfect team. But I have to be willing to listen. And so I'm going to ask you, where are you in your life presently doing any sort of leadership? And it's on a day-to-day basis. It could be with your spouse, a partner, family, might be a child, might be in your place of work. Where are you being in your part of leadership? So I'm going to say these qualities of a leader who leads with heart and head together. Now, you can take notes. You have my permission. Because I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't already know, but this is reminders. This is what I know. I need to be reminded. In fact, when I was reading these, I was thinking, okay, maybe I need to do a little more of that. Or I'm doing well in that area of how I'm being a leader with head and heart. Leaders make people feel special and connect, and they listen. So they make them feel special because they recognize everybody has a unique contribution to make. And they appreciate and they share encouragement. They connect with people by being respectful and looking for their interests. They connect. It's being interested. This one's the big one, always to listen to people, to listen instead of wanting to have my own thing to share. Am I willing to listen? And to put myself in their place so that I can really sense what's going on. Am I doing that with the people that I am perhaps having a relationship? Because every leader follower is a relationship. They create a safe environment. Because if we're not safe, we can't trust. And what am I doing to foster a safe environment? Maybe that I need to be wisely vulnerable. Because to recognize my own weaknesses, to own my own mistakes, and to ask for forgiveness, I'm okay with being wrong. In fact, it's okay. There's sometimes I'll be like, this is whatever I think, and I'm like, and it's okay if I'm wrong. Because honestly, I don't need to be right. I just need to know that we're about the love and being right. It's not that important to me. So am I willing to ask for forgiveness and say, I don't know, or this is what I did? Because we're all doing the best we know how. Sometimes my best doesn't look so good. And that's from the Don Miguel Ruiz Four Agreements, which if you don't have that book, it's one of the number one books to study. Cherishing values. Do we cherish the values that we have and for others? Are we open to dialogue with folks and including them instead of, well, I don't really care what you have to say. Why don't I include you? It's being inclusive. Grateful, that's without saying, but are we expressing our grateful? Thank you for doing the dishes, you know? Simple saying thank yous. Little things, it's the little things that make the difference. It always is. As Mother Teresa says, we don't do great things, we do small things with great love. And it's the little things we do that add up to being the leader with heart. They're flexible. They realize it doesn't always go as planned, and oftentimes, how many times does it not go as planned? Are we willing to say, I'm not happy with that, and I'm okay with it? It's not to bury your feelings or what you are feeling, because that's spiritual bypassing. We want to acknowledge our feelings. I'm disappointed, I'm upset, I'm having a low vibrational moment. I feel like a caterpillar growing on the ground, and I'd like to be the butterfly flying around. Am I willing to acknowledge that every state of being is coming from one of two things? It's either coming from love, or it's a call for love. And if I'm in low vibration, or my partner's in low vibration, somebody's in low vibration, they're upset, they're mad, they're having their whatever they're having, meltdowns, it's a call for love. And when someone's calling for love, I want to know, what is it do you need? Do you need a hug? Do you need to be listened to? Do you need to be left alone? What do you need? When we ask the questions, and questions are the key. In fact, if you come to the workshop today, you'll have questions. But it's the questions that open us up. I'm not going to tell you anything, that it's for you to have the exploration. Sometimes we don't ask questions. We're just not trained in asking questions as much as we could be. But to ask the questions and then have the answers come, because all the answers are within. And that's the idea of having a workshop, is I'm going to be a facilitator, which means to make easy, which means you're going to have, wow, I never thought about that question. And then you'll have some answers, and it's going to shift your entire experience of the holidays. That's what it's called, holiday happiness. So these are some of the ideas there are about being a leader. Now what happens, now we're getting, for me, what happens when my leadership goes off or somebody's leadership skills is off? Well, it happens to be the ego. Oh, you've heard, you know, ego, and sometimes it's edging God out is one of the acronyms. But the ego is the part of us that is fear-based and conditioned. It's fear, it's not our true self. We were born as perfectly loved beings, but we've been conditioned and fear-based, and the ego is here to protect. The mind and the ego has one job, to keep us safe. And so it doesn't operate, it operates off of survival. We're great spirit when we know who we are, when I know that I am the divine in expression and so are you, then we're here to thrive and not have to be in competition or be in fear, because I trust and know that everything is happening for a reason, and I'm looking for, do I need to come from love, or am I calling for love? So it's always coming back to those basics. This philosophy is so simple, I just know that I sometimes complicate it. And all I'm about keeping things as simple as possible. So how do I keep my ego from running the show? Well, there's four aspects of this, and that's, first of all, have a vision. Vision with intentions. It's, what is my vision? What would I love? And that's the question to ask, not what do I want? Because God is not on the want channel. God is on the love channel. So K-Love, I'm going, what would I love in the area of relationships? What would I really love? And write it down. What would I really love as my health and well-being? What would I really love? And focus on what you would love, not what you want or don't want, but what you would love. It changes. When I ask people, I don't ever ask, what is your prayer request? Because I only ask for, what is your prayer revealment? Because it's already there. Prayer makes you aware of what's already there. But I always ask, what would you love? And it shifts the question. People will say, if I said, what do you want? You'll say one thing. If I say, what would you love? It will shift the question. So ask yourself, what would I love in this area of my life, financially, in my work, in my relationships? What would I love? And then you change it, and you, after you write that out, you write at the top, I am so happy and grateful now that, because you want to act as if, I'm so happy and grateful now that I have everything I would ever wanted, and it's better than I could have imagined, everything. So I put that at the top, and then at the bottom I said, this or something better, which you may have heard before. So having a vision, and it needs to align with our values. What do you value? What are your four top values? Mine are love, joy, peace, and freedom. I had to go through a list that was about 100 things, and I kept circling and had to pare it down. What do you value most? Family, social time, fun time, spiritual practices? What is it that you value? Because we need to align our vision with our values, and am I focused on that? So that becomes the third part, daily intentions. Am I spending time focused on connecting and doing the things that are in alignment with my vision and values? Pretty simple, right? But these are reminders. And I like the word remind, which means, re means to go back, to the big mind, to the natural mind, to the God mind. So in our lives, we have leadership times and we have following times. And we're aligning with our vision. We're getting in touch with that. Again, for the holidays, you have an opportunity this afternoon to do that. And I have an acronym, because I love acronyms. HEART. Heart of a leader. H. And some of this you've already heard, but I'm going to put it in that sort of way that you can maybe remember. H stands for have a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, I spend more time making my to-do list than here's my vision, right? And my intentions to go with it. So what is my vision, and what are my intentions for the day? My beloved wife and I always ask each other, so what are your words for today? Love, joy, fun, glitter, you know, whatever, divine flow, peace. What are my words for today? What is it I intend to have, be, and do? Actually, to be, do, and have, because being is the first thing. What do I choose to be today? Happy. If I set my intention before I do my do list, it changes it. It's not what I do, it's how I'm doing it. So, number one, have your vision, have your intentions. E stands for engage by listening. Listening is huge. And there's three sets of listening. Listening to another without agenda. To listen to understand before we're understood. Stephen Covey says that in the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success or whatever book he's got going on. There's always sevens. That might be Deepak Chopra's title. But to have, seek to understand and to understand where they're coming from. Set Liz aside and just go, get it. Because Liz needs to set herself aside sometimes so that she can just hear. Sometimes I need to listen to myself before. You ever get two people who want to be heard at the same time? You're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. Okay, here's the key to that. I've had this. My therapist helped me. Yes, therapy is good when you have somebody who knows the tools. I take a time out. T, time out. I take a time out. I'm going to be back in 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour. Because I have a need to be listened to. I'm upset. So I get my journal out and I listen to Liz. See, I'm not supposed to also just listen to others, but listen to myself. So I'll let the mad part of me write down what I'm so ticked off about, and then what's underneath that is I'm really hurt. Anger is always the cover up for the pain or the something underneath it. There's a more vulnerable feeling. So then I listened to that part of me, and now I don't have to be in such a needy place to have my partner or someone listen to me, because I listen to myself. Now I can go back and be the adult I would like to be in the relationship instead of the kid with the other kid going, So, listening. And the biggest L of all to listen to others and to self is to listen to the divine within. And if you came to the Still Small Voice workshop that I did back in July, I believe, have you written a letter to the divine yet? Dear God Self, dear Spirit, dear God, what do I need to know or do about this that I don't already know and that I'm not already doing? That's the key, because we know so much. But what is it that I need to know or do? And then listen, let God write back. Dear Liz, I am your God Self. What you need to do or know about this is that you don't already know, and see what happens. We have so much wisdom inside. Everything that we ever want to know, it's inside. And we can tap into that. A, this is a big one, appreciation. Anybody ever get too much appreciation here? Okay, well, good for you. So to appreciate others, appreciation goes a long way. So this is always a three-folder. I'm going to appreciate you. Am I appreciating myself? Oftentimes, we forget to appreciate ourselves. I did really well. I like to, at the end of the day, acknowledge all the things I did. I brushed my teeth. I did the dishes. I put away that, and I made a phone call. Yes! You know, instead of looking at all the stuff I didn't do, I appreciate me. I appreciate that I had a meltdown, and it was okay, and I got through it, and I'm going to be better tomorrow because I didn't have enough sleep. And then how about we've heard of how to have a daily gratitude list? Well, we can make that appreciation. There's a different vibration with appreciation versus gratitude. I can say I'm grateful for or I appreciate. I actually think that appreciation has a higher vibration. It's a lighter vibration if you feel that. So try an appreciation list. Three things. You want to have a better rapport with your partner? Start this exercise. What I appreciate about you, Suzanne, is your ability to just be so centered and peaceful. What I appreciate about me is my appreciating you. And third of all, what I believe we agree on is God is good. All the time. You do that for 20 minutes with your person, and you'll feel so good about each other because you're telling each other what you appreciate and about them and about yourself. R, the big R in heart, to respect each other, but really it's about remembering to release. Oh my gosh, you have to release. What do we need to release? Come on, tell me some things. We're going to release negativity, anger, judgment, disappointment, shame, we know what we're releasing, right? We're going to release our expectations. We're going to release our judgments because that stuff does not work. I always have, usually my word for the day is to release. Part of my prayer is I'm releasing anything that is not of the truth of who I am today. And sometimes I run into that and I do it anyway. And it's like, then I get to put the F in there, and that's at the end. So we're remembering to release. I release. I let go. T is now I need to turn. After I've released, I need to turn back to the divine. Turn to the good. Turn towards love. What would love do? What would love do? Because sometimes after the release, I need to, like, refocus because I'm all about these things that I've been irritated by. And I'm like, okay, turn back to love and to remember that I am love and I am loving and I am lovable. I am love. I am lovable. I am loving. And to remember that about each other. So now I've done my turning. And because I needed to have a couple more letters, so heart, you've got heart, and then it's of. And you can just say leader. But the O is to be open. To be open to one another. To be open. And not so rigid and set into place, because that does not work, as most of us know. To be open to others. to their opinions, to their thoughts. Thank God we're not all the same. But I want, how come she doesn't think like I do? It's like, celebrate the differences. We have a variety of things. And isn't that, and the line I like to use when I'm being open, isn't that interesting? I shared that in the last time I was here, but I won't go into that. It's too much information. But to say, isn't that interesting? Everybody say that. Isn't that interesting? She's having a good time, isn't that? She's being a real pain in the butt. Isn't that? I love my mom, isn't that? So pissed at my mom, I hate her. Isn't that? Right? So being open kind of gets you that. Isn't that interesting? And last of all, the F in heart of, after the O, is the F word, forgiveness. Because honestly, I have to forgive myself for my silliness. I get to forgive others because, again, when we're in our silliness and doing things, if we're doing something or someone's doing something that isn't high vibrational, it's because we forgot who we are. We have forgotten who we are, and the whole key is to remember. I'm going to close with this story about the rabbi's gift. This story concerns a monastery that had fallen upon hard times. It was once this really great order, but because of persecution, all of its branch houses were lost, and only 5 monks were left in the decaying house, the abbot and 4 others, all over 70 in age. It was clearly a dying order. In the deep woods surrounding this monastery, there was a little hut that a rabbi from a nearby town occasionally used for hermitage. Through their many years of prayer and contemplations, the old monks became a bit psychic, so they could always sense when the rabbi was in the hermitage. The rabbi is in the woods. Rabbi is in the woods again, they would whisper to each other. As he agonized over the imminent death of the order, it occurred to the abbot on one such time to visit the rabbi and to ask if there was any possible chance he could offer some advice on how to save the monastery. Well, the rabbi welcomed the abbot at his hut. But when the abbot explained the purpose of his visit, the rabbi could only commiserate with him. "I know how it is," he exclaimed. "The spirit has gone out of the people. It is the same in my town. Almost no one comes to my synagogue anymore." So the old abbot and the old rabbi wept together. Then they read parts of the Torah and quietly spoke of deep things. The time came when the abbot had to leave, and they embraced. "It has been a wonderful thing that we should meet after all these years," the abbot said, "but I still have failed in my purpose of coming here. Is there nothing you can tell me, no piece of advice that you can give me that would help save my dying order?" "No, I'm sorry," the rabbi responded. "I have no advice to give. The only thing I can tell you is that the Messiah is one of you." When the abbot returned to the monastery, his fellow monks gathered around him to ask, "Well, what did the rabbi say?" "He couldn't help," the abbot answered. "We just wept and read the Torah together. But he did say one strange thing when I was leaving. It was cryptic. Something about the Messiah is one of us. I don't know what he meant." Well, in the weeks and the months that followed, the old monks pondered this and wondered whether there was any possible significance to the rabbi's words. The Messiah is one of us? Could he possibly have meant one of the monks in the monastery? This is the case. Which one? Do you think he meant the abbot? If that's the case, well, could have been, because he's been our leader for more than a generation. On the other hand, it could have been Brother Thomas. Certainly Brother Thomas is a holy man, and everybody knows that Thomas is a man of light. Certainly he could not have meant Brother Elred. Brother Elred gets crotchety at times. Come to think of it, even though he's a thorn in people's sides, when you look back on it, he's almost virtually always right. Often very right. Maybe the rabbi did mean Brother Elred, but surely not Brother Philip. Philip is so passive, a real nobody. But then again, almost mysteriously, He has a gift for always being there when you need him. He just magically appears by your side. Maybe Philip is the Messiah. Of course, the rabbi didn't mean me. He couldn't have meant me. I'm just an ordinary person. But supposing he did, suppose I am the Messiah. Oh, God, not me. I couldn't be that much for you, could I? As they contemplated this in this manner, the old monks began to treat each other with extraordinary respect, just on the off chance that one of them might be the Messiah. And on the off chance that each monk might himself be the Messiah, they began to treat themselves with extraordinary respect. Because the forest in which it was situated was so beautiful, it so happened that people still came to visit the sanctuary and the monastery, to picnic on the lawn, to wander its paths, and even sometimes go in the chapel to meditate. As they did so, without even being consciousness, they sensed an aura of something extraordinary happening with the monks. There was something strangely attractive, even compelling about it. Hardly knowing why, they began to come back to the monastery more frequently to picnic and to pray. They began to bring their friends to show them this special place, and their friends brought friends. Then it happened that some of the younger men came to the monastery, started talking more and more with the old monks. After a while, one asked if he could join, then another and another. So within a few years, the monastery once became a thriving order, thanks to the rabbi's gift. Became a vibrant center of light and spirituality. One of them was the Messiah. So my question is, which one of you is the Messiah? One of the things that have you ever done an angel walk where they put your hands over you, or you're walking through this list of people and they're whispering in your ear? Well, when I was in the ministerial intensive, they did this. And there was one person who said something that I cannot forget, because what he said was, "You're the one you've been waiting for. What if you are the one you've been waiting for? The truth is, we've been waiting for you. You have a leader, you have a connection to something that is so profound and so deep, and I am so grateful to be with you and to know that you can follow the leader anytime, any day, any way. The leader is within you. Just tap in, tune in to the K-Love channel. And I'm sure that that God self, your name, love team, is ready to thrive. Thank you so much.